If you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel according to St. Luke, to chapter 12. We're going to read a familiar parable as a part of our scripture, beginning at verse 13 and reading through verse 21. Here at Central, we believe the Bible to be the only infallible rule of faith and practice. If we want to know what God desires for us to believe about Him, about life and about the world, we go to Scripture. If we want to know how God wants us to live our lives in terms of His laws, we go to the Bible. Listen then. Hear what God says to us in this living word. It is not a dead word of the ancient past. It is a vital, dynamic, living word. Hear what God says to His people. One of the multitudes said to Him, "Teacher, bid my brother divide the inheritance with me." But He said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or divider over you?" And He said to them, "Take heed and beware of all covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And He told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?'" That's a good question, isn't it? The things we've prepared, whose will they be? "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Are you rich toward God this morning? Our meditation is entitled, "When Your Building Permit Expires," our text verse 20. But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" May God bless to us this reading from His holy word. To His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. God, thank you for this little parable. Use it to teach us. Open our hearts and minds to hear what the Spirit has to say to us, Lord, that we might be enriched in our understanding of the meaning of life itself. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Some time ago, I visited a dear friend in the hospital. He had just gotten the news that he had a malignancy. We talked about it for a bit, and then he said with a sort of wry grin, "Anybody who thinks he's going to live forever is just a fool." He's right, of course. God gives us time. Some He gives a little time, others a great deal of time, in which to build our lives. But for every one of us, the time comes when the building permit that God gives us expires. Most of us are unwilling to accept that reality. We don't like to think about or talk about death. I know in my own life, last year was quite a revelation. I was suddenly faced with my own mortality. The reality of death confronted me. And I must confess that the prospect was not a happy one. While heaven is hopefully my home, I did not feel the least bit homesick. I did not want to die. I was not ready to die. And most of us aren't. We don't want our building permit to expire. Such was the case with the man in the parable that Jesus told. He did not suspect that his building permit was about to expire. He could not believe his own mortality. He was so busy building barns that he never suspected that the expiration date on his building permit had arrived. The first thing I want to say about this parable is that it is not bad. It is not bad to be a barn builder. Nowhere in the New Testament do you find a sweeping condemnation of people who use their talents and abilities wisely in order to accumulate material possessions. As a matter of fact, Jesus once told a parable in which he commended servants of a man who had been left with some of his resources, and they used them wisely to build bigger barns, to accumulate more resources. The man in our parable was not a fool because he was building bigger barns. However, it is true that being a barn builder has some hidden dangers. One of the dangers of building big barns is that the builder begins to credit himself with his own success. Let me read part of the parable to you, and as I do so, I will verbally underscore the personal pronouns. And when you do that, it sounds like this. What shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops? And he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, obviously, he was suffering from a bad case of eye disease. Do you have that problem about your successes? I know I do. For example, if I preach a good sermon on Sunday morning, I go home from church feeling, my, didn't I do well today? And if the sermon doesn't turn out so well, I go home thinking, well, I did my best. God sure let everybody down. And that's one of the very real dangers of barn building. We get to giving ourselves credit for our success, but we don't take the blame for our failures. Here's a second danger of barn building. We begin to get self-sufficient. The barn builder in the parable that Jesus told didn't need any help from anybody. As he put it, he had ample goods laid up for many years, and he could eat, drink, and be merry without giving a thought to it. And isn't that one of the serious dangers of having complete material security? We begin to think highly of ourselves. We begin to think we are totally self-sufficient. We don't need anything or anybody. You know, Jesus never condemned the rich. But he talked a lot about the dangers of being rich. The poor man knows he's utterly dependent upon God, and when he prays, give me this day my daily bread, he really means it. But the man who has plenty is often hard put to recognize his dependency upon God. And when that happens, barn building gets to be dangerous business. A third hidden danger of barn building is this. It gets you focused in on things. In my profession, I frequently deal with people in all sorts of crisis situations. And let me assure you that when life is stripped down to its basic ingredients, the things that turn out to be really important are not material at all. What do material things really matter when a loved one has perished? What do material things matter when a marriage is coming apart at the seams? How important are material things when you're dreadfully unhappy and when depression is heavy upon you? Just how important are material things when a child goes wrong, when a loved one deserts you, when a heart is broken? No, in this life, the things that ultimately matter the most are human relationships. They are personal feelings. They are spiritual dimensions. So barn building can fool you. It can get you focused in on material things, and one day you wake to the tragic realization that after all, the most important things in life are not barns, but they are human relationships and spiritual relationships. There have been times in my own life when I've been so focused in on being a successful pastor, a good barn builder, that I've neglected my family. Sometimes I've got so busy doing the Lord's work that I don't even have time for the Lord to pray and to study His Word. Are you guilty of that too? Does your job get so important that you put it ahead of everything? Do you get so busy being successful, so busy making money, that you neglect the really important things, things like your spouse or quality time with your children as they're growing up, and even forgetting God? Have you mothers ever got so busy being the best possible mother, the best possible homemaker, that you've neglected being the best possible wife or the best possible Christian? You see, there really are some serious hidden dangers in building barns because it gets us focused in on the wrong things. Let me illustrate. Do you remember Tolstoy's famous fable entitled, How Much Land Does a Man Require? A Russian peasant was made a proposition by a wealthy landowner that he could have all the land that he could walk around in one day. The man placed his cap on the ground to mark his starting place, and he began walking. Soon he saw a field that was perfect for corn, so he widened his circle. Before long, he saw another field that was just right for potatoes, so he expanded his circle once more. The farther he went, the more he saw that he had to have. Finally, in order to get back by sunset, he began to trot. But as his circle grew, the faster he had to run, until at last he was running with all of his might. His heart was pounding, his lungs gasped for air, every muscle in his body cried out in pain for the effort, but still he drove himself on. Just as the sun went down, he staggered to the starting place and fell across his cap, dead. When did the peasant really die? Was it not when his greed caused him to widen his circle the very first time? So there are hidden dangers in building barns, and we get focused in on material things that make us miss what is really important in life. However, let me emphasize again that building barns, while having hidden dangers, was not the reason the man in our parable was called a fool. Why was he a fool? Because, as Jesus put it, he was not rich. He was not rich towards God. Do you see? Jesus once said that his Father's house has many mansions. And the fool was a fool because he was building barns here and he had no time to construct a mansion there. By the time he got all of his barns built, his building permit had expired. There was no time left to build an eternal mansion. Let me put that question to you this morning. Is your mansion under construction? Most of us, all of us, are building barns of one sort or another. Some have great large barns. Others of us, less talented, have small, nondescript barns. But what about our mansions? Are they under construction? The man in the parable was so busy building barns that when eternity came, he had forgotten to build himself an eternal home with God. He was rich toward the world. He was poverty-stricken, poor towards God. You know, one gets the impression that maybe the rich man intended to build himself a spiritual mansion later. When he had more time, when the barns got finished, when everything else was done, then he would turn his attention to eternity. But that very day, God said, this night is your building permit expired. Your soul is required of you. He finished his barns, only to discover that when he was ready to turn his attention to an eternal mansion, his building permit was expired. Some of you may remember from your history books the story of Cortez. He invaded Mexico when Mexico was ruled by the Aztecs. Cortez knew that the city he had taken would be attacked one night by the Aztecs, and he prepared his men to flee the city, knowing they could not withstand the assault. He warned his men against loading themselves down with the gold they had found, and he said to them, "He travels safest in the night, who travels lightest." Some did as their general advised, but others stuffed their packs with gold objects. Some even wrapped gold chains around their bodies. As the troops fled, those carrying gold began to feel the burden and began to fall behind the others to become victims of the Aztecs' spears and arrows. The rich man of the parable was carrying new barns on his back, and when death caught up with him and pierced his heart, he had not even begun the construction of his mansion. He was not rich towards God. Are you? What are you carrying on your back this morning? Are you rich toward God? I suspect there are many here this morning who have great fine barns. But how's the construction going on your heavenly mansion? Are you rich towards God? What will you have when your building permit expires? That day in the hospital, my friend said to me, "Anybody who thinks he's going to live forever is just a fool." And of course he's right. When the time comes that our soul is required of us, when the time comes that our building permit expires, our barns are not going to be very important to us then. We used to sing a hymn entitled, "My Jesus, I Love Thee." And in a moment we're going to sing it again. The last verse goes like this: "In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore Thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with a glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now." Well, if you don't love Him now, when your building permit expires, there'll be no mansions of glory. There'll be no endless delight. David A. Redding tells in one of his books about a man named Orville Kelly, a man who was informed that he was suffering from terminal cancer. He and his wife went home to cry and perhaps to die. Should they keep it a secret from their friends? They prayed about it. The answer was that they should not only pray, but they should also play. So they had a great party. They invited all of their friends, and during the activities, Orville held up his hand to make an announcement. "You may have wondered why I've invited all of you here to this party," he said. "This is a cancer party. I have been told that I have terminal cancer. My wife and I realized, as we've prayed about it, that all of us here are terminal. We decided to start a new organization. It is called MTC. Make Today Count. You are all charter members." Are you making today count for eternity? I believe in life after death. I believe in heaven, where those who are rich toward God will be with Him. I believe that there will truly be mansions of glory. There will be endless delight. I also believe that right here on earth, at this very moment, we all have buildings under construction. Barns, yes. Mansions. And if we want a mansion, we must make today count. It isn't wrong to build barns. It's just that one day the barns won't matter all that much, and the mansions will. And suppose for you, when your barn is built and you're ready to start on your mansion, your building permit expires. Will God say to you, as He did to the rich fool, "And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?" That's a good question for each of us to ask himself. Indeed, who gets the barns and who cares? What do I do for a mansion? Let us pray.